Welcome everybody to HomeKit Insider. It is Andrew here, and this is a different episode, different week, because Stephen has abandoned us. He has left us, and in his stead, at least for the week, is my good friend William Gallagher.
Hey, hello. I'd long to say long-time listener, first-time caller, but the show hasn't been around that long. But, you know, I've been with it since episode one. I really like what you do here, so it's great to come in, because I have home cook questions of my own.
Oh, good. Well, we are going to get into all that today. We got fun stuff. We're going to hit up the news first. We are going to break into some Big Sur testing that we've been doing. We're going to get into some user questions and some user feedback, get into William's smart home, what you are doing over there, and then ending this episode, we have our first winner of our Eve Cam giveaway. So we're going to break that down at the end. We're going to make you sit through all of this, or we're going to allow you to figure out how to use that scrub button to get all the way to the end and just hear who won at the end. But we're going to hope you actually listen to the whole episode. So let's go ahead and dive into this. News. There's really not a lot of news this week, William. Not a lot.
Oh, it's you could just skip. Is it me? Did I win the competition? That could be news. That could be good. No, you're just looking at me now. Okay.
Nope.
Hang on.
Nope.
We're the week after WWDC, or the week and a bit after it. Have no big secret surprises come out from the developer session?
No, not that much. They actually didn't have any HomeKit-focused sessions this week. And really, no new accessories have launched, so no new accessory launches. Really, the biggest news is that Vizio is adding the Apple TV app to its SmartCast TVs this summer. So Vizio, SmartCast TVs work with AirPlay 2 and HomeKit, and now they're getting the Apple TV app. So if you don't have an Apple TV and you want to be able to watch the Apple TV app on your Vizio HomeKit TV, you'll be able to do that this summer. So that's the biggest thing in HomeKit news, but we did have a couple kind of minor news things that we got from our friends on Twitter. We had Ivan Andronowitz. We were talking a few weeks ago. Steven had figured out a way to hook up his Harmony remote into HomeKit and be able to control his TV and everything through HomeKit and his Harmony remote. And Ivan shared with us that not only is it really useful for how Steven talked about, but it gets even better when you're using the remote widget inside a control center. And we didn't even think about that or talk about that, but he shared a short little video with us of hooking up his Harmony, just used Homebridge to get his Harmony remote into there, and he could just swipe down from control center and use his Harmony remote to control his TV right from control center. So I thought that was a great way to make the Harmony remote even more useful, because I know Steven wasn't utilizing it all that much other than a few basic controls. So that's a really good tip if you're looking at using that Harmony remote with HomeKit. We also had Jason Bierbach on Twitter. He talked about a couple episodes ago, we talked about closets and HomeKit automation lights, and Steven had a few different solutions. And then my solution was foregoing HomeKit and going a cheaper route and just buying some motion sensor lights. But Jason had a really good point. He is actually using a Hue light and the Hue motion sensor, which allows you to change the brightness. You can all do this through HomeKit, but he's hooking it up with Hue to change the brightness of the lights based on the time of day. So if he goes into his closet during the day, it may be really bright, but if he goes in late at night or early in the morning, it'll be a lot lower light, so it's not nearly as jarring. And I thought that was a really, really good idea. So if you're looking for a reason to go the smart route, the HomeKit route, then maybe that different brightness aspect is a good thing to consider. Instead of listening to what I said and buy a cheap motion sensor light strip and mount it in there that way. So just another option or something to think about.
Actually, that's what I do. Every Christmas we have a relative staying over who likes sort of the landing light to stay on, but it's a bit bright for the rest of us. So we have a Hue lights, Hue motion sensor, and it drops down, yeah. So she's happy, the light's on, and actually, since last year was here, we just left it because we quite like it in the middle of the night. It's just bright enough to see, and then in the morning, it all picks up again. So yeah, that's one of the big successes for me of HomeKit, that ability. So I'm not alone. Excellent.
Yeah, I like it. So that pretty much covers it for news and kind of catching up on those previous episodes. Since last week, well, I mean, really, we've been just cranking out videos for Apple Insider on all the new update stuff. William, I know we talked about this even on the Apple Insider podcast. just the crazy amount of videos we've been putting out on these new updates and what features we're looking forward to. And we didn't really talk about it on Apple Insider Podcast, but I really like macOS Big Sur. I've been playing around with it a lot, and I did mention in Apple Insider Podcast that one of my favorite features of HomeKit coming out is the ability to run third-party HomeKit apps using Catalyst on the Mac. I think this is a huge deal between the widgets and the apps that developers are going to create. And this is kind of cool. We got an early look of HomeCam on the Mac. Aaron Pierce was able to hook us up with an early build of this. And we got to play around with HomeCam on the Mac. And it was really cool to be able to have that different control, the different way of viewing cameras and everything right there on the Mac. And I know he's going to be refining that UI and really focusing on making it, you know, feel at home on the Mac. But man, it was really cool to see that. And William, I know we went through all these other HomeKit features. What are you most looking forward to with like these new updates coming out?
Well, for me, it will be tvOS. But sorry, I've got to ask this one. Apple had barely finished saying the word HomeKit, and he'd come out with an entire new version of the app to exploit it. That's remarkably fast, isn't it? Does that mean he's brilliant, or it's incredibly easy to use? I kind of hope it's a bit of both.
Included, and I think a lot of this comes down to, one, how he designed them to take advantage of all of Apple's offerings, all of Apple's frameworks. But this is built on Catalyst, which is supposed to be, you know, dead easy to take your existing iPad app and convert it into a Mac app. So he's really just able to kind of just add macOS as an additional target in Xcode, and probably a little bit of cleaning up there, but being able to export it out of Xcode as a Mac app. And, you know, that's what he did with this first build of HomeCam. And it was incredible. Like you said, it really was that fast. He could take something that he already had and boom, he already had it running on the Mac in days, maybe hours before he, you know, sent it to me. But I was blown away. I was so excited. And I'm so excited to see what other developers as well are going to do, and for Aaron's other apps to launch on the Mac.
You could actually have just changed my mind about Catalyst, because I mean, it's fine, whatever. But I was quite excited when the Home app came over, and I used it, and it just, I mean, you couldn't set up devices in it. I couldn't edit things. I forgot that it was there after a bit, so it kind of left my head. But this sounds like it might actually, yeah, I could, okay, I'm in.
I did not like the Home app on macOS, to be honest.
No.
I mean, it really felt just kind of squished into place, and I'm pretty sure Federighi came out and said, like, we are working on a new version of Home for by the time that it launches, you know, with Catalina, and that never happened. We had Catalina come and go with, you know, no changes there, the same clunky, limited, kneecapped app that they had. And it definitely annoyed me. There was a lot of weird things that just didn't make sense, and I was really waiting for a new design. And we actually kind of got a good upgrade with macOS Big Sur. There's some improvements there. We have all the new widgets along the top that you can actually see what's going on, you know, from a high level in your home, doors that are open, windows are open, shades are open, lights that are on, things that are unlocked, all those kind of statuses along the top there. And they have now a full height sidebar for all of the rooms and organization. It makes it feel a lot nicer on the Mac. It doesn't look kind of like a mirror image of the iPad app. I mean, it still does. It still does, but not as much. It feels more at home on the Mac.
Actually, I'm not that keen on the iOS version either, because it seems to be gigantic buttons for everything. But I tend to do most HomeKit stuff through Siri, so I don't go into these much. I mean, once I've set something up, then I don't go back. But I'm less likely to set things up because it seems a bit, I don't want to say childish, because it's nicer designed than that sound, but still, big Lego blocks moving into place to tap things, and I'd rather simpler switches for it. But
I know, I think they wanted to be a little bit approachable, you know, not make it, because there's other apps that I like Home Plus 4 is amazing, the Eve app is amazing, those are fantastic options, but I don't think that they are as quick and easy to make changes as they are with Apple's Home app. And by changes, I mean like turning a bulb on and off or something. Like you just open the app up and there's your favorites there, and I can immediately tap like lock my door, close my blinds. Done. It's very fast. Whereas I feel like I have to navigate a little bit more in those other ones. But those are way more powerful for creating automations and scenes and everything else going on with HomeKit. I prefer those for those aspects.
You just had Home 4 there. I'm pretty sure I've still only got Home 3. I should look into that then. Okay. All right. It's So It Begins. I'm spending money.
I think it's 4. I hope I'm not like misspeaking again, but I thought it was 4.
Ah, it will be. If it isn't now, it will be soon. I'm sure. Okay.
As always, we want to take just a moment to thank our sponsor for this podcast, Eve. So Eve makes a pile of HomeKit accessories, and exclusively HomeKit accessories. Recently, they've launched their new Eve Cam, which we've talked about on the show, which is a HomeKit secure video camera that allows you to keep an eye on your home around the clock while protecting your privacy at the same time. It doesn't collect any data, doesn't require any third-party accounts, and everything is fully encrypted and all data is processed locally in your home. Your home hub will analyze footage and help you discern when it sees just one of your pets or a person. It has motion sensor, which can be used to trigger other accessories and automations, and the camera can automatically switch to privacy mode when you're home. The camera also has full 1080p resolution, night vision up to 5 meters away, 150-degree field of view, infrared motion sensor, and two-way communication. It also requires no additional subscription for storage, simply relying on your existing iCloud storage plan. Eve Cam already sold out its first batch of pre-orders, but is back in stock this week and is ready for you to pick up. So if you want to grab an Eve Cam for yourself, you can get it from the link in the show notes. Thanks again to Eve for sponsoring our podcast. Well, let's go on and talk about your smart home. We talk about my smart home every week for the past 6 weeks now. My home and Steven's home. Let's mix this up. I want to hear what you've got going on in yours, what you want to do, and then, you know, if there's anything in these new updates that make you more excited, like if you're looking at HomeKit cameras again or anything like that, just what your impressions are on HomeKit in general.
Well, I feel a bit feeble compared to your houses. I've enjoyed listening. I aspire to your two houses.
Many years and a lot of money later.
Yeah, just a lot of money part, isn't it? We began with Philips Hue lights, and almost all of our lights now are Philips Hue, and I almost like it. You know, the thing my wife likes the most is we have this thing that you walk into the kitchen and the lights come on for us. That is the killer thing for us. It's that room, that effect. You're coming in and out, you're usually carrying something. It's so useful. For it. And the odd time when it fails for some reason, you suddenly notice. And we have the thing on the landing that I mentioned. We have lots of lights around. Oh, I did actually once, I was trying to work out home automation for something and I just wanted to try a thing out. So I told my office light to turn red at 9 o'clock at night, figuring I'm probably not there. And also if I am, I should stop and get out. So I did it. I set it up and it worked and it was fine. A year later, I was on a video conference call with a guy when it obviously just crossed 9 o'clock and everything went red around me. But he turned out to be somebody who used to work on nuclear submarines. And so it's suddenly going red. I think PTSD was going on there for a little bit. So I've changed that, which actually means I tend to use, even though I've got coloured lights in three rooms, I only generally use them on white. I mean, so it's a waste. They're quite expensive bulbs in colour. I should have gone for just white, as I have for most of them in the house. But what I would like most of all, if you could fix one thing, please, it's to make Hue lights brighter. They're not quite bright enough in our living room. Yeah.
And depends on how long, they have been making them brighter for what it's worth. Oh. But if you bought these like, you know, bulbs like years ago, you don't want to buy a new one just because there's a newer, brighter version out. And there are brighter ones from like LifeX and stuff like that. But I know that's been a constant kind of criticism of the Hue lineup.
Yeah. But I like how the Hue stuff just worked. I used the Hue app for a while, and it's going back a few years ago, and then using HomeKit for it. But other things I've tried connecting. Occasionally, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you most was the fact that I would love to just strip it all out and start again, because there are times when my Home app creates a new room, moves things there. We have two bulbs in one room and it seems to get confused about them sometimes like this. And I know I've done something, but I'd like to just start again. But then I added, I was actually writing a review of IKEA's cheaper bulbs, and they are ludicrously difficult to set up. And then once you've got them set them up, the one I had, it just kind of fell off again. And I looked at it and I looked at their remotes and I thought, yeah, I'll just switch that one, that light, on and off by hand. It was that fiddly for it. But, even like that, you said about what I want. It's mostly lights here. We have a couple of HomeKit plugs. Here in the UK, plugs, for some reason, they seem to be much more expensive and there are far fewer options than in the States. But we got a couple of them, and I did love the fact that I could walk into the house over Christmas and ask Siri to turn on the Christmas lights, and HomePod that. Would...
Yeah.
But HomePod would start playing Christmas music, the Christmas tree would come on, we have a huge strip around the window, dim lamps, it was really nice. And then to be able to say, and switch them all off again, that was nice as well. Except when we did it for on the 12th day.
I like being able to schedule them too.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Okay.
Yeah, you can schedule them. And I did, I actually connected all my outdoor lights to HomeKit sensors. So I had those going on and off, turning like on just before sunset and then turning off like a little after midnight. So I wasn't running them all night, but I loved that. I love being able to, control all of my outdoor Christmas lights through HomeKit.
Oh, sorry. Christmas lights. Of course, I was thinking, you mean other lights outside? We don't have anything like that. We're in an area where the majority of houses go insane at Christmas, and you look at it and sometimes you think yeah, that's a bit much, and other times you think, wow, that's a lot of money. We can't compete and we can't compete, so we don't tend to think about the outside, we only do the inside for it. But of course you can do outside lights.
I mean, I have a spotlight for the house and like porch lights, all those are connected to HomeKit, because I like when it detects motion on the front porch, like the porch lights come on. I just like being able to come on with lights on those are, that switches on the inside. So I like having that automate, as you come home. And the spotlights, our house is it's white and we're in the country and there's no lights around us. So it's like impossible to see the house. So the spotlights on the house, it's a white house with these lights on it. It makes it look really nice, in the dark.
Great. I tell you, something that bothered me about HomeKit, when I first got into it, one of the reasons was I wanted it to be that when my wife comes home, that the porch light and the hall would switch on so that she was never coming home in the dark. But we've constantly, hopefully it's better now, and we just haven't tried it in a long time. It seemed to be that HomeKit worked for an individual, that I could easily do that for me. But then trying to invite her into her own house and to join this, I ended up undoing everything and redoing it so that she was in charge of HomeKit, her phone rather. And even that didn't seem to work until actually Mike Worthley on Apple Insider said, why don't you just get the lights to turn on by themselves when it's dark? And so I did that, actually. But I wanted to respond, I wanted to welcome her when she comes up to the house. I also want a smart lock to unlock it, but she's less keen on that. Yeah.
Oh man, I love the smart lock. That's like one of my necessities for a smart home is the lock. I love it.
Do you have one that smart locks is actually also a key as well? So if you didn't want to, you could put a key in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now I'm just using the August. I really like the Level Lock, which is the invisible smart home lock. The new August ones that are Wi-Fi connected are a lot smaller and sleeker. So I really love those. I've been playing with the Premise a little bit.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Which is one that has the passcode on the outside.
Oh, right, yeah.
So if you want to enter in, like, a code that way, for someone who doesn't have a smartphone. But do you know what I think was really cool? I don't know if you saw this at CES this year, but Netatmo is coming out with a new HomeKit smart lock that has keys, but the keys are actually NFC chips.
Oh.
So it looks like a key, it feels like a key, but there's no jagged edges on the end. You just slide it in and it's a NFC chip that authenticates it that way. So you can still have that physical key or you can control it, via HomeKit and automate it that way. I thought that was really cool.
I missed that completely because it was CES. I'm afraid every year I think CES is where products are announced that we'll never see. So I just blank it out completely. But this one is actually real. This is the one from the year that's actually coming out.
Netatmo has a mixed track record. They're very good. Their products are really solid. But sometimes stuff gets held up. And I don't know if it's, you know, from Netatmo side or Apple's approval on authentication side on everything. Because we're still waiting on their doorbell to launch. That's kind of the big one, the elephant in the room as far as Netatmo is concerned. But I really like their stuff. Their like temperature weather sensor for the house is great. The Netatmo smart indoor camera has HomeKit secure video and has the facial recognition and all this other stuff. That's a great option. And then there's their doorbell that's coming out that I know a lot of people are waiting on that. And then what's the other one? The one we just talked about, the door lock. That's going to be a great one too. They also have a welcome camera outside that's got a spotlight and everything, works with HomeKit. Also very cool. So some of their stuff has gotten delayed. You know, what the cause of that delay is, I have no idea. But they usually do come around eventually. Eventually it makes it to market.
Back in the olden days when we could travel and have holidays and things, whenever I would be coming home after it, there would be some point on the journey back when I'd have this terribly irrational fear that my Mac and everything would have been stolen. And so I did look at putting an old iPhone in a corner as a camera to look at it, and it was never quite satisfactory. And then I needed the phone for stuff like this. That's the kind of thing I would like a camera for, to just be able to check, yes, everything's all right. But you were telling me about TVOS when you mentioned this. I've been watching your Apple Insider videos and things. TVOS can now look at your cameras, or it will be able to in this thing. I am perturbed. There I am watching Star Trek Picard or something like that, and it's a really intense moment, and somebody comes to the doorbell, you know, parcel from Amazon or something. Is that going to come up on my screen in front of Patrick Stewart's face as he emotes or something? that's a deal breaker for me.
Well, I don't think it's going to obfuscate his emoting, but it's going to come in as a notification in like that top right hand corner. It's much smaller, but it'll let you know that someone's at your door.
Okay. Does TVOS have a do not disturb function?
You know, I have not looked. Because notifications, I feel like, are still kind of new on TVOS. Like, you can have, like, check-ins for sports, or, like, I'll be watching a movie and it's like, hey, the Ohio State is, you know, up by a touchdown with 5 minutes left and Michigan's got the ball or something, which wouldn't be a case because I'd be watching the game, not a movie at that point. But some notification comes in on sports related. Those are there. There might be a couple other options for notifications, but really we haven't been, you know, we haven't had a deluge of notifications on Apple TV before. So I feel like if that becomes a problem, then there will be a do not disturb mode. But I mean, the idea is someone's at your door. Someone's knocking or ringing your doorbell to get your attention. So it's not that much different than someone doing that.
Yeah, I'm a drama writer. They can wait until the episode is over or something. Nobody will ever come to see me ever again. No, but not at the moment, nobody does, do they? This is where it's all gone wrong. Okay. Do you have any recommendations about intelligent sockets and things? I bought it's Eve one, and I bought an IKEA one. And I remember thinking the Eve one, or EVE, I'm mixed up by the name, was very expensive for what it did, but absolutely rock solid reliable. That's what we plugged all of the Christmas stuff into to get it to work. But, you know, they are expensive, and I would like to get strips of them and control individual strips, but I don't even know if that's possible. Last time I looked in the UK, it wasn't. But in the States, can you buy a main strip and individually control items? Do you know?
Yeah, you can. I think there are at least three that I know of off the top of my head. So there's the Eve Energy Strip. So Eve actually has an energy strip. It's got an aluminum body, black plastic. It looks very nice. Can control three individual devices there. And just like the standalone Eve Energy, it will monitor the energy consumption for each of those devices. So I think that's also an important thing for HomeKit devices, because part of my thing about smart homes is I want them to be kind of fade into the background a little bit, They should be more convenient, and they should give you more information on your home. You know, how much are you using your AC or your heat? How much are you spending running those Christmas lights? And can I save some money by knocking an hour or so off of how long they run? Like, just some sort of transparency there into what your home is doing and giving you more feedback about it. So I do like that the Eve Energy Strip also will report back to you how much energy each of those devices are using and how much it's going to potentially cost you based on energy prices in your area. So that is one thing. Then there's one from KooGeek also has one out, which I believe has USB ports on it as well. So three outlets plus some USB ports for charging. And then there is one from Vocalink, I feel like launched fairly recently. They have one as well. But those are the biggest ones I know. There's other options like the, you know what, it only lets you control them together. iDevices has an outdoor light outlet thing, and there's two on there. But you can only control them together, I believe. So it's like all or nothing. So you can't control them, you know, one versus the other.
I was trying to work out how you spell Coogee and things, and I've ended up looking at Apple's list of all the things available in the UK, and actually since I last looked there's far more available. So previously that was a problem. There were just physically far, far fewer HomeKit devices here, but then on top of that the ones that were here were clearly a lot more expensive, and I don't know if that was just less demand in the UK or whether, I mean, I know electrical systems are different. Are they that different that it's more complicated to design for the UK? I took it personally, to be frank, and
I would, yeah. I mean, it's probably because of you in some way.
Thanks for your help there. It's I'm less enjoying this than I was a moment ago, but, you know, thanks.
Okay. So for your lights, what do you got?
Something like 8 Hue lights and 2, I can't pronounce it, the IKEA light name, the Swedish name for it. And that's the one, thank you. And actually, that's brighter. I like the brightness of that. That one's fine. I'm highly drawn, even though I really did have a lot of problems with IKEA. Once you set it up, I thought it was fine. And then a month or so afterwards, it sort of fell off again, and trying to set it up was just painful again.
I know. That was a huge thing. We did a comparison of Hue versus Trodfree.
Yeah.
And that was one of my biggest things, was it really is a pain in the butt to set those things up.
I think it's because IKEA's come at it from a different approach. IKEA is a furniture store, so it's how does a furniture store provide lights that work this way? So they have a physical light, a physical remote control. And Hue has come from the kind of the electronic side of how can we control this remotely? And I think the Hue way is better. But, you know, the theory of having a physical button that you can just slap on your wall to control, I can see the appeal of that. But being required to set up that button and then use that button to set up the device and then join it to HomeKit. I found myself, I spent an hour holding this button next to the bulb and taking it away again and doing it again. It's like alchemy more than anything else. And yet I am drawn to IKEA's smart blinds. I'm really, really tempted by those.
I know, I consider those as well.
But didn't go for it? What stopped you? Can you put me off?
I don't know. Mainly, it's just the Trodfree experience of them being difficult to set up. And even when they were set up, I found they weren't as reliable for me compared to the Hue or the LifeX bulbs.
Yeah.
There was just times they didn't respond, and that made me hesitant to drop down the change on blinds. I do have the Lutron Serena shades in my living room on this massive window, and it is absolutely amazing. They were, you know, not cheap, but I justified it of, we're buying a new house and we need some blinds up here, and it's so large an opening, we're going to need something custom anyway. So really, it was only, you know, marginally more expensive than just already getting custom blinds, so, or shades, whatever you want to call them. And we got to, you know, customize the material and how much light was coming through and the colors and the fascia on the top, and they just looked amazing. So I have those there. So like, and they're absolutely rock solid. One time they went offline and I couldn't control them. And I was so irked at them because I thought, oh, you guys are so good. Why are you not working? And I go and I look at the hub to like reboot it. One of my dogs had knocked a ball back there and had pulled the Ethernet cable out of my bridge. So it wasn't the Shade's fault. So I connected together and 2 seconds later they were operating properly. So they have a huge bar set, and I there's a couple others that I want to automate. I'd love to be able to automate ones in the bedroom in the studio, and I just haven't decided kind of if I should try the IKEA ones or not.
You sounded very good there when you rationale for buying the expensive one. I think I envy you that. I'd like to be able to do that too.
Being able to rationalize. Yes, yourself.
Exactly. Okay. Yes, possibly not. So we're agreed. Unfortunately, IKEA is not doing the job at the moment. That's a shame. I like IKEA furniture. I think it was great that they brought into this and that they brought low cost ones. I think it would open up HomeKit to more people, but if it opens it up and it's a bad experience, then that's distressing.
That's not going to help. No. Okay. So you have a lot of lights.
Yes.
What do you use for physical controls? Like, do you have to tape off all of your wall switches?
Oh, good point. I hear a lot about this. So people saying that there's one nutter in the house who likes HomeKit and everybody else keeps switching the lights off. But maybe my wife and I are equally nutty, because I got one of Hue's push button things and I just blue tacked it to the wall next to the light switch in the living room, and we just used that. I bought a second one and put it in the bedroom, and she just tended to not use it. And actually, that one, for some reason, fell off the wall. So she doesn't use that one much. So I borrowed that, and it's in my office now, and it controls. There are 4 buttons, and they control 2 different lights on and off and things for it. So, yeah, it didn't work everywhere, but it turned out to be advantageous. Otherwise, it come on automatically. The landing, the bathroom, the kitchen, they come on by themselves. And the rest of it will just call out to HomePod over the magic words and ask Siri to do its thing. Unfortunately, Siri then always says, Siri comes back every time with, some of your lights didn't respond. And it's the one that was an IKEA trad-free thing, and I haven't undone it yet. And I keep it, I'll undo it tomorrow. But yes.
So. Yeah, be in my shoes testing everything. You know, stuff shows up for a day and then I have to send it back. And it doesn't get removed from HomeKit right away. I just always have things that are not responding. I'm like, stop reminding me. Yes. I understand. We put in our bedroom, we have that the Lutron Aurora, which is that little toggle that goes over like a normal light switch.
Oh, I don't know.
You can like rotate it or press it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sleek little thing, and I really like it. The only downside, William, is my wife comes into the bedroom sometimes and just throws her hand up on the wall to hit it like a light switch.
Yeah.
And she just hits it right off the switch and it goes flying. I hate this switch. I'm like, oh, it's such a good idea. But especially when you're coming into the bedroom, you know, you can't see it behind the door. You don't think about it.
Oh, right.
Like if you're coming into a room where you can like kind of see the switch as you do it, it's like one thing and you know, like, oh, okay, that's what it is. But when you're like walking into the bedroom and just fling your hand up kind of just impulsively out of habit, even though the thing gets screwed on to your, you know, the actual switch, it still just goes flying. But it is a nice way to control them.
It's a nice way to control. Some people tell me that they actually remove their existing light switches and they build HomeKit ones into the wall, or not build, connect something for it so that this thing is the only option. It just seems like a needless expense to me because it's working here. But I, if you have to do it, would that solve your problem?
Well, there are the HomeKit ones. I don't want to. For me in this room, I don't want to go the whole HomeKit route to do those lights, because you're having to go through HomeKit kind of to make the jump over back to Hue. In this case, it's just a set of Hue lights that are on the ceiling, and this thing pairs, and it's cheaper than a lot of the in-wall switches, that I like it. And it's easier, because if I put in like an Eve switch on there, it would be great. It would work fine. It would work. But this allows you not only to turn the lights on and off automatically without having to create any extra rules, and you can twist it to increase or decrease the brightness. So you have more functionality than if you put in a regular wall switch, and it's cheaper. If I had other lights going on, like a mix of like LifeX lights or outlets that I needed to control together, then I would go with a Switch. But for just the Hue lights, I'm going with the Aurora.
Right, that makes sense. Okay, so we've said I would like more main sockets that I can control, and I would like brighter lights, and I'd quite like a camera, and I'd kind of like... what are the things that you are looking forward to? What's missing in your house? It sounds like you've got everything.
I mean, I'm waiting for a lot of just improvements in HomeKit, which I'm now waiting another year for those things to come along. We talked, I think, before about HomeKit security systems and limitations there. That was last week. We talked about that. Really, it's you're limited because you have to use that brand's contact sensors and motion sensors to trigger your alarms. I would feel more comfortable around here if I was able to have, you know, HomeKit security system that I could use my existing contact sensors and everything like that. Because I've already bought over the years a ton of contact sensors. I bought from Eve and Kugik has some. There's one from Fibaro I have installed. And I have them. I really want to have them on all my doors and windows just, you know, to be sure. I mean, I like to have those open. And then even just for in the summer when we do have windows open, I like to be notified if I'm like leaving the house or something, and I can check and see, you know, at a glance that all my windows are closed before I boogie out of there. Because we have a kind of odd-shaped house, so I might forget a bedroom window's open or something like that, and I don't want to leave the house with the window open. So I like the idea of having all those contact sensors around, but with the HomeKit security system, you have to use them from that manufacturer. So I can't use my Eve contact sensors with my Abode IOTA security, or I can't use my Fibaro ones with my Akara security system and alarm. So that's one limitation that I'm just like running up against of like, okay, how many am I going to buy? Just a, you know, metric crap ton of brand new contact sensors to re-outfit everything. But, you know, that's excessive and kind of annoying when you already have stuff built in. So that's one thing. I need one more camera inside my house that I need to set up. And fortunately, I did pick up one of the Eve cams. So I have a spot already picked out, mounted high up in my kitchen, and I can hide the cable behind my cabinets and everything. It's going to be beautiful. I'm so excited for it. But in general, we don't have many cameras like inside the house, but we have this big old dead spot, and I know my wife would feel better if she'd be able to look at night and be able to see in like the kitchen, the living room and stuff. It's this big area with the camera up and out of the way without it kind of sitting on sitting on all my furniture. So I like just being able to mount this up and out of the way. So that's something I'm looking forward to. I think my Eve cam gets here like today or tomorrow. It's probably showing up while we're recording this. So I'm excited to start playing with that one as a new HomeKit secure video camera.
How many episodes of HomeKit Insider could I be on to tell my accountant that this is clearly part of my business life and work, and that therefore I justify expenses? You're going to say, William, you're a guest, you're not working. Stop it. Okay, it was a shot. I'm trying to do your rationalization thing here. It's not working. But of all the things you said, I come away yet again wanting a smart lock for the front door. Why do I want it so much?
The smart lock is huge. I love having it automatically lock and unlock. I love knowing that it is locked. If I leave the house and I'm absent-minded at times, like, did I lock it? I'm not certain. And I can see it in my phone. And I can control it if someone else is going over there to check on the pets or water flowers inside. Something, we're gone. I'm out of town at a conference or something. I can open it and control it remotely. Or I can grant access to someone so they can do it. I feel better with that. And then I get notifications whenever that lock is unlocked or locked or the door is open. So it just makes me more aware of it and I feel more secure, you know, knowing if someone's going into my house or not, whether I wanted them to or don't want them to. I just like having that visibility. I mean, even if someone's like picking your deadbolt or something, you'd get notified that your deadbolt was unlocked. So I love that. And it is just infinitely more convenient. I don't know if you've ever came back from the grocery store and said, I'm not taking multiple trips. I'm carrying this all in one trip. Yep, everyone does it. And do you really want to get up to your porch and then have to dig out a key from your pocket to try to unlock your door? No, you don't. And we don't have a knob. We have like a lever lever kind of lock to it. So I come up with a huge pile of groceries. My door is automatically unlocked. My lights come on the porch automatically so I can see what I'm doing. And I can use my elbow or a foot or whatever is in my arms to push down that lever just a little bit. And my door comes open and I can walk inside. It is much more convenient. I love having the smart locks, not only for the convenience, but the security factor as well. Just a lot about them. The smart locks are very, very high on my list of things that I are like a must in my smart home.
Listen, next time Stephen's away, could we get my wife Angela on and you can give her that speech and persuade her and see what happens?
Why is she hesitant on the smart lock?
She is concerned about security. We have a two lock system, and it is strong. So in fact, we have a porch as well, so we have multiple locks in the house. I don't disagree with her. I see her point completely. And it's a big expense for what arguably is a luxury for it, when we could, we have other household expenses to work on. So it all makes sense. But I think she's unhappy with the security. And we have enough problems with HomeKit and the Hue lights just occasionally not working that she wondered. We had a thing in the bathroom. We set the lights in the bathroom to stay on for us, to come on by themselves and stay on for a certain amount of time. And then, she was in there doing something, cleaning the bathroom, and the lights went pitch black on her. And she's thinking, she said to me, is this genuinely better? And I thought, no, it isn't. So she's not completely sold on HomeKit, and for very good reasons, but you're very persuasive. I mean, you persuade yourself all the time. You've already sold me. I mean, I'm hovering over the buy button on the Apple Store. So, we can push her over the edge.
I'm trying to think of, because I know the European locks and everything are different, and I'm trying to flash back to CES in a meeting with the August team and Yale. So it's like, what, Asa Abloy owns Yale and they bought August, and I swore they were coming out with something for the European market that took those different locks into consideration, and you could still use the physical key, but you had like the modules that could be swapped out to add the HomeKit or the August HomeKit functionality there.
I see. I didn't know there was a difference. Wow. Okay, that might... Yes, sorry.
That might be a thing. I could be making things up again. You cannot trust me, William. Just because I'm a host of this show does not mean I know what I'm talking about.
He says
about.
That now. Okay.
I'll edit that out. It's fine.
Okay. I didn't know there was a difference in the locks at all. I will look into this more. Okay. Yes, next time you talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where everything is different, but I know there are differences in the locks, and... they were even using like different marketing names and the different types of locks.
They're just messing with our heads now. Yeah, why are they doing this to me? Okay, and it's me. They're picking on me. That's what it is.
It's again you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
So let's get to some user questions. I think we had some people write in to us again on Twitter this week with some more questions to talk about to round out the show before we get to our giveaway winner.
Well, I'd like to point out you sent me these questions, and for a moment I thought you thought I could answer them. So I was quite flattered for a minute there, then I read them. It might be because you have trouble pronouncing the names, didn't you? But Chris Heitschu,
that's it.
I think that's how you say it. Yeah. This one interested me. He wrote saying, he or she actually, I don't know which version of Chris, but Chris wrote saying, looking for a simple outdoor-rated HomeKit button that I could use as a doorbell. My concern is that, is it pronounced Eufy? E-U-F-Y? Eufy?
Eufy, I think.
Eufy. The doorbell cam will overheat too frequently in summer as my door faces west. I can more easily put a camera under the overhang. So is there a doorbell button Chris could use?
Yeah, no, not really. Unfortunately, nothing out of the box. So Chris could look at doing some different waterproofing things to existing buttons that are out there, like the Eve button or the Fibaro the button. None that I know are rated to be outdoors. The one that I would say would be closest, which I actually think is discontinued, is the Logitech Pop button, because it has like this rubberized exterior. That might have been an option, but from what I can tell, it has been discontinued from Logitech, and they still only have like starter kits available on Amazon. So if Chris wants to pick up a starter kit of the Logitech Pop, that would likely work pretty well, depending on how it's mounted on the wall, just because it's kind of this like robust kind of rubberized exterior. The other option is literally just going to have to be putting the camera and getting the notification alarm. This is going to sound really dumb, but you could just rely on the motion notifications when someone's at the door, and you could literally put like a fake button, just something so that people walk up and they know what to do. Like if you want to have a button really bad, just a fake button so that someone can press it, or they can just knock on your door and just rely on those motion notifications. But there's no like outdoor home kit buttons.
Oh, I like that. Cool. Because Mads Thielemans, Mads, I know I'm probably mispronouncing your name, but your name is fantastic and you must be a writer with a name like that. I could see that on the side of a book. While you're working, Mads wants to know, it's another doorbell question in a way. Are there any doorbells that support HomeKit secure video that you can recommend?
Well, we touched on that a little bit earlier in this video, and I'm pretty sure, not video, in this podcast, but I'm pretty sure in previous episodes we've touched on this. This is a sore spot in the HomeKit space, and it's not good at the moment. So right now there's like the Robin Pro line, which personally I don't think looks great and is prohibitively expensive. Then the other option is, I can't even think. It's like Yobi maybe. Theirs is out, but it does not support HomeKit Secure Video. It just does like the live video and motion notifications. So it's a good doorbell, but it does not support HSV. So that does not work for that either. Really, your options are... Oh, man, there's not even that many good options, unfortunately. It's waiting game. We're going to be waiting for the Natatmo one that we previously talked about for that to launch. That will support HomeKit Secure Video. But I am confident in this space. And I think it's because the HomeKit Secure Video cameras in general have taken off. I mean, we saw Logitech announcing theirs. We saw Natatmo adding their update. The Eve Cam is launching now. Akara has one coming out. There's like a bunch in the camera space. So I think cameras are going to be really big in HomeKit. They've been really popular. We're getting a lot of questions about them. Videos and articles are performing great. So I think there's a lot of interest in cameras in general. And that, plus Apple's new iOS 14 enhancements, you know, being able to announce who is at your door across multiple devices and facial recognition and zones, I think are going to be the features people need for a doorbell. So I think we're going to see more of these coming out from various companies or software updates coming down the line to support existing products. I'd love if Arlo would update their doorbell. That's the one that I use right now because I have a lot of Arlo cameras, but I really wish it supported HomeKit. And I say August, I would love if they updated their camera to support HomeKit. They already have HomeKit on their other devices. I would love if that came to their doorbell cam as well. Or even just I'm trying to think of the other big one that I played around with. Oh, we're not even going to say their name, but that stupid Amazon-owned doorbell company that's promised HomeKit support for years, that has continued just to say that it's coming with literally no other information, that ruffles the feathers of every HomeKit fan out there. If they ever brought support, it'd be great too. But right now, there's not a lot of options for HomeKit Secure Video doorbells.
As an occasional HomeKit user that things started out big, that loads of people were getting on the Apple bandwagon, but then it fizzled away and people started making things for Google because they were easier and cheaper. Do you make it sound like there's more hope now, that there are more products coming? Am I reading that right?
Well, I'm very hopeful. I think there's a lot. We always do like a roundup of everything new from HomeKit at CES, and there was a ton of stuff that we got to check out this year. A lot of stuff coming this year. A lot of companies have stuff under development, and whatever it is kind of holding them back to getting to market, I think is going to be resolved. We saw already this year the first HomeKit air purifier from Vocalink, testing that out, review next week. We also have all these new HomeKit Secure Video cameras. That was a big change. A lot of cameras coming out now. A lot of companies are filling out their portfolios, which may not grab headlines as much. You know, they're just bringing in, you know, adding plugs or surge protectors or all those different kind of things to fill out their portfolio in their existing product lines. We are seeing Brilliant came out with their wall switch after a little bit of a delay with HomeKit support there, so that was great. We have, I think there's some remotes that are launching soon. And then, of course, Apple created that, you know, that smart home alliance with Google and Amazon, and with the plan to make it very easy to deploy products on multiple platforms. So devices can easily be created that work across Google Assistant, Amazon Alexa, and HomeKit. So I think all those together, it's really going to be speeding things up. There's really been a lot of stuff coming out, a lot of stuff launching. I mean, a lot of HomeKit improvements with iOS 14 and macOS Big Sur, all those. So there's a lot of good stuff for HomeKit coming down the line. I think it's a very bright future for HomeKit in general.
Great. Well, perfect time for the show then.
I know.
One last question.
It would be terrible if it was the other direction. Yeah, I'm pretty sure HomeKit is just going down the garbage. So thanks for tuning in to HomeKit Insider. We're canceled.
Let's be more positive. There's one more question, and doubtlessly the answer is yes, because you can solve this. You can solve anything, I'm sure. Andy Hopkins wants to know. He says, I've been trying out sleep tracking on Apple Watch, but as a shift worker, I don't want to set a sleep schedule. It seems like shift workers would want to track sleep. What am I doing wrong? Is he doing something wrong?
Okay, so this is a good question. So we're going to have to fill in some gaps because I'm not sure exactly how Andy is doing this, because there's a few different ways that you can track your sleep on Apple Watch. If you're using watchOS 6 or before, you're going to be using a third-party app to do this. And there's a bunch of NapBot or Pillow, Auto Sleep, I think is the name of one. There's a bunch of different ones out there. And a lot of those will automatically track your sleep without you having to do anything. You just wear your watch and you go to bed and it tracks it. So if you're using any of those, many of them should work automatically and report it back to the health app and all of that. But I have a suspicion that Andy here is using watchOS 7, which actually builds in sleep tracking. And I know this isn't like an inherently like a HomeKit specific question, but I feel like this is kind of in the smart home space, you know, your health and everything else. So I think this can kind of fit in there. And he did ask us on, you know, using our HomeKit Insider hashtag. So I feel like we should answer it. But watchOS 7, I've heard this from other people, is that Apple did not take shift workers into account, because you can create your sleep schedule and have it automatically move into sleep mode on your phone and your watch, track your sleep, and greet you in the morning. That, of course, does not make sense for a shift worker where it's not the same, or all that stuff is changing constantly. And while you really can't set a schedule for that, I've not played around with this to know for sure, but I'm pretty certain. I mean, I know you can manually enable sleep mode. So that's what I'm kind of wondering. If you manually enable it, do you need to have a schedule? I'm wondering if you don't have a schedule at all, if you still manually enable it and it works just fine. Because you can manually start sleep mode on watchOS 7 from swiping up from the bottom to access the control center, and then tapping on that little bed icon, which will start your sleep tracking. And when it's in sleep mode like that, or night mode like that, it will basically lock the screen so your motion does not turn the display on. And if you try to tap your phone or your watch face, it'll show you the time in a very dim light, so it's not jarring to you. And if you ever try to do anything else, you actually have to unlock your watch by rotating the digital crown, just like you're expelling water after a swim from the speakers. So that way you're not, again, tapping the watch face at night and going about doing things or clicking on things, starting a timer or a workout, something like that. So the sleep mode, night mode, whatever it's called, is very useful, but you probably just have to manually enable that, because I don't see any other way around it. There's no schedule there to work with. So really just manually enabling that, I think, will work. But again, I have not tried it all the way yet.
Suddenly wonder if there's something in shortcuts, because you can automate shortcuts as well. Is there a way to get shortcuts to do something to set this off? And I don't know either, but that's just suddenly pops into my head, and you know I'm going to go off and have a look now, so let's see what happens.
I know, I like that idea, because then you could do like essentially a good night scene. You know, I do those, and I wonder if you could, you know, trigger some sort of while you're doing, you know, turning off all your HomeKit lights, shutting your blinds, all of that, you also
trigger this. You know, yes.
Trigger that. Because the other one I remember now is auto sleep. And I think that actually has shortcut abilities to it. So I don't know. I feel like that should be a thing that could be added to shortcuts if it isn't already in there. Maybe it'll arrive in a later beta if it's not in there now. That'd be my hope, I guess.
It does feel like a big thing for Apple to miss, though. I mean, that happens, doesn't it? They're always
looking at those accessibility features and things like that, and I feel like this is something that they would have thought of. Because they do try to be very inclusive so that their features are able for everyone to use. And I feel like they cannot, you know, be that kind of absent-minded to not consider shift workers who don't have a regular schedule. So I feel like there should be a way to do that.
Well, let's find out. Let's see what happens. Yes.
I know. We'll have to report back for next week's episode if I can try that. I'll try and, like, turn off my schedule and see if I can still manually enable sleep tracking and it still reports everything correctly. Well, I think this is as good a time as any to announce the winner of our contest. We get to see who won an Eve Cam from Eve HomeKit Secure Video Camera. I'm really excited. I don't even have mine yet, so I'm really excited to play with this. And I'm looking here. We had everyone tweet here in the show notes with hashtag HomeKit Insider, and we just literally randomly chose somebody as our winner. And it was William. No, I'm kidding. It's not William Gallagher. You probably didn't even enter, William. You didn't even tweet about us. You definitely don't get to win the camera. But our winner for our very first giveaway is Josh White. Josh White tweeted that, and we randomly picked him. So we will be reaching out to him on Twitter and get all that straightened out with Eve and get him his new Eve Cam. And if you guys did not win, which there were many, 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 many of you who did not win this week, we will be doing another giveaway very soon. So keep sticking around to Apple Insider, HomeKit Insider Podcast, because we're going to be doing more giveaways just like that. Are you sad you didn't win, William?
Well, I didn't tweet at you because I'm in the UK and I was thinking, does it apply in the UK? Does the thing actually work in the UK? And by the time I'd finished thinking this through, the time was gone. So let me congratulate Josh. I think you have a great time with it and I will just envy from afar. How's that?
That's fine. I think you should get a HomeKit Secure Video for your house anyway. They have come such a long way. These new updates are great.
Yes.
With iOS 14. So I'm excited for them. Zones and all that stuff are going to be so much nicer for these HomeKit Secure Video cameras. So I think that does it for the podcast this week. Yeah, anything you want to end on here, William?
No, only I regret coming anywhere near you because the bank balance is just visibly dropping as I speak. So mostly thank you for having me, mostly.
Of course, anytime. I was very glad to get you this week as Stephen so rudely has abandoned us for a better life somewhere else. I'm kidding. He'll be back next week. We'll go through our usual stuff. We'll hear how his little trip was and get back into more HomeKit stuff. I'm excited. Next week's going to be a fun episode as well. We got that first Vocalink HomeKit air purifier. We got a lot of stuff to talk about there. So make sure you guys follow us. Find me on Twitter at Andrew_OSU. If you want to follow William, where can they find you, William?
Many places. I write on Apple Insider. I'm on Twitter as W. Gallagher. And I have a YouTube channel called 58 Keys, which is about Macs and iPhones and iPads. And I realize it's never touched on HomeKit. It should. It definitely should. Thank you for the tip.
Okay. It absolutely should, for sure. And of course, if you guys have any questions, tips, comments, anything for us, you can tweet at us with the hashtag HomeKit Insider, or tweet at us directly. And of course, we'd love to answer you, send us a message or a tweet, and maybe we'll feature you guys on the show. Otherwise, please, please, please be sure to rate us and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We have been trending recently, and I'm so excited for how well we've been doing. So thank you so much for everyone's support. And I think that's a wrap. We'll talk to you guys next week.